And welcome back. St. Louis's major cultural institutions are held in high regard, not only here, but around the country and even the world. The Zoo, Art and History Museum, Science Center, and Botanical Garden function under the auspices of the Zoo Museum District, a cultural taxing district supported by taxpayers in St. Louis City and County. As part of the authority to establish the district and taxes, it's prohibited from charging admission to the institutions. As property values have declined in the city and county, the district, or ZMD as it's called, is facing decreased tax revenues while approaching its maximum taxing authority. Several ideas are being floated to increase revenue, including charging admission, increasing the tax cap, and/or expanding the district. None of the options would be easy. Here to talk about all of it, Attorney Charles Valier, Zoo Museum District Board Member and Commissioner. As a legislator, Mr. Valier sponsored legislation that created the district almost 40 years ago. Also joining us is Terry Jones. He chairs the Department of Political Science at the University of Missouri in St. Louis. Terry, are you there?
I am.
Thank you very much for being with us. In a moment, we'll also be speaking with Alex Hoyer, who is the producer of St. Louis on the Air, and we'll get to him in just a moment. But first, Charlie Valier, you know, it's one thing to talk about options, as a lot of people are doing these days. It's another thing to implement any of them, isn't it?
Right, and I've been on both sides of that issue. Let me state at the outset that while I am a ZMD member, I'm speaking as an individual today, not for the district board. The ZMD was a creation of Howard Baer's over 40 years ago, and it was based on the premise of fairness, I think, that we had cultural institutions then, really the zoo and the art museum and to a very lesser extent a science, Museum of Science and Natural History, that had been tax-supported by the city since about 1915. And by 1970, most of the visitors to those institutions were coming from St. Louis County, yet the St. Louis Countyans were not supporting them. Those institutions have always been free. So the option of charging admission really wasn't there. And when we were taking the legislation through the General Assembly, while there was much debate about whether they should be charging admission, the decision of the legislature, and I think subsequently the decision of the voters in 1971 and again in 1983, was that it's an important part of our St. Louis culture that they remain free.
Was there any discussion at the time about expanding the district from to include adjacent counties beyond the city and the county of St. Louis County?
No, in 1970, at least 85% of the visitors, maybe more, were from St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And so the outlying counties, which were much smaller in population, particularly St. Charles, were not considered to be candidates. And there were no amendments on the floor, no discussion on the floor of adding them.
Any discussion on the floor about charging admission to those who weren't part of the district?
The issue that came up was over the general issue of charging admission. The bill that I introduced in April of 1970 followed a repeal of an income tax increase that had been passed by the General Assembly in the prior session. And had been advocated by the then Governor Warren Hearns. 56% of the voters in the county rejected that income tax. And so you had a group of legislators, primarily in St. Louis North County and in South County, who had supported that tax increase and then found that in the election that, as I say, just a week before the bill was introduced, had overwhelmingly rejected it. And so they were really gun-shy about any kind of tax increase. And so they proposed on the floor that the institutions charge admission. And that was defeated in a very close vote. But ever since then, there's never really been much discussion about charging admission.
Have you had any feeling since that the legislature at that time put the district in something of a box because of its inability to be really flexible on some of these things?
No, because the legislation can be changed, first of all. Secondly, had that amendment to authorize charging admission been passed, I doubt that the district ever would have been created. So the objective was the people who used it ought to share the burden of supporting the institutions, and we were successful in that. We really were the first community, state in the United States that went to a regional support for cultural institutions. So we were kind of the pathfinders at the time.
Charlie Villier, I'm going to ask you to just stand by for a second while I turn to Alex Hoyer and then to Terry Jones, who's waiting patiently on the phone. But I wanted to establish, Alex, and you can do that for us, the fact that we reached out to the various institutions we're talking about here to be a part of this program, but no sale.
Right. So there are five institutions in the ZMD, the Zoo, the Science Center, the Art Museum, the History Museum, and the Botanical Garden. And since we are going to be talking about them, it was only fair, I thought, that we reach out to them to see if they wanted to have one of their directors join the program. And they politely declined to be on the show, saying that this is certainly a broad issue that they're just not ready to talk about.
What do you make of that? I mean, you had conversations with each of them, as you said. What do you make of it?
I get the feeling that they don't want to ruffle any feathers right now. They don't want to say the wrong thing. And in not wanting to say the wrong thing, they won't say anything at all. That's the feeling that I get.
I wonder if it is too early for them to be in on this, because this is really the first phase of what will be a long discussion.
And something that the folks at the St. Louis Zoo pointed out is that they, with a recent property acquisition, are in the beginning stages of coming up with a 20 or 30-year strategic plan on what they're going to do with that property and the rest of the zoo. They're going to have a polar bear exhibit that they're working on now and a funding plan that they're going to be working on. So just not wanting to talk about it, saying that they're at the beginning stages of a very strategic plan, and talking about this now doesn't fit in with that.
They want to disassociate the strategic plan with the current discussion about perhaps charging admission and that sort of thing.
I think so. And something that the History Museum said, they gave me a brief statement, and one of the relevant quotes from that is that the museum, quote, "the museum has not been a party to the current discussion and is not advocating or endorsing any proposal to increase taxes, charge admission, or expand the current district."
Okay. Well, I think we'll have an opportunity in the weeks and months ahead, perhaps, to talk to some of these institutions and get their input on whatever is going to be decided or further discussed.
And I should point out finally that some of the institutions did not rule out talking at all about it. For example, from the Art Museum, they said that they would be interested in participating at some point down the line, but they're just not ready to do so at this time.
Okay. That's Alex Hoyer, the producer of St. Louis on the Air, and talking about his attempts to reach the various institutions in the Zoo Museum District about participating in this program. Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome.
Terry Jones, let me turn to you. Thank you for waiting. You've been around for a while. What do you make of all of this and the discussion that is just being initiated now with regard to some of these potential changes?
Well, it's a discussion that's not just being initiated. There's been behind-the-scenes discussion of expanding the revenue base for one or more of the cultural institutions now for over a decade. One of the backstories here is that the Zoo Museum District as a whole, while it legally exists, is toothless because it's really five separate districts, each of which has its own taxing authority. There's a good deal of, I don't want to say tension, but back and forth between or among the cultural institutions is who should take the lead, who's going to get how much of any additional revenues. And as that discussion occurs, everybody realizes, pardon the pun, that the zoo is the big gorilla. It's by far the most popular among the region's citizens, and its cooperation and involvement is necessary for any successful effort, for example, to expand the footprint, the regional footprint of the Zoo Museum District.
And Charlie, you have been on the record as saying that you believe that the zoo is the 500-pound gorilla and should take the lead in all of this, right?
The zoo has had three and a half million visitors last year. It's the most popular attraction in the whole St. Louis region. It is far and away the leader among the five institutions, and its needs and the other institutional needs are all disparate. So I don't think that any discussion at this point about this issue, it should be assumed that you're talking about all five institutions. Each of them have different bases and attractions and needs. And so this is a very complex issue.
Well,
for example, Don, it would make any one of them very nervous to individually step forward and ask for a tax increase if they had to worry about the other four or one of the other four opposing that movement.
You know, one of the things that came to my mind once this discussion started and we were having some difficulty reaching people from the institutions to talk about it is perhaps the concern that this is not the time to get involved because of some of the things that have gone on with the History Museum recently with regard to funding and finances there, and also some publicity that was considered rather negative for the Science Center. Charlie Valier, do you think that comes into play at all at this stage of the game?
Let me back up one step in answering that question. I think the reason this came up is that about a week ago, the ZMD, which sets the actual tax rate, set the maximum tax rate for the five cultural institutions, which is the first time in 30 years that it's done that. Concurrent with that, we find ourselves that the assessed valuations in the county and the city, in other words, in the district, have gone down $633 million just in the last year, almost $3 billion in the last 5 years. So the property tax as a revenue source for these institutions is one of diminishing value. So the issue came up through our legal requirement to set the tax rate, and our feeling that the heads of these institutions and their boards needed to understand the dynamics of what's taking place. So that now backs me into your question, which I forgot in the course of this, so repeat it.
Well, basically what I'm talking about is the negative publicity that the History Museum received and the Science Center received with regard to how much people were being paid.
Well, so both those institutions have been under public scrutiny, under scrutiny by the ZMD. I think in both instances they have taken steps to try and correct and undo what happened. But as I said in the beginning, the issue is not all five of these institutions. I think that the most compelling case is with the zoo. The zoo has done something that I think is probably startling and probably the most significant thing the zoo's done in almost 40 years, and that is by acquiring the Deaconess property, they have expanded their opportunity to expand their exhibits within Forest Park. And they're one of the smallest zoos in the country, so they anybody that's been to the zoo realizes today everything is jam-packed there. And so this gives them an opportunity to really expand their exhibits and go into areas that they haven't been before. And so they have a real opportunity, and I think St. Louis would be remiss if it didn't embrace and support that.
Well, you know, one more crack at this question, and Terry, let me throw it your way. Ultimately, at some point, someone might have to vote on some of the things that are being talked about, and I'm just wondering if you think, Terry, that the publicity that I mentioned a moment ago concerning the History Museum and the Science Center would be an impediment to public approval for anything that would cost the taxpayer more money.
Only in the short run. The respect for and admiration of and use of all five of these institutions is so substantial in the St. Louis region that they have a great deal of goodwill, and these incidences are just a temporary cloud on the horizon.
We have some evidence of that. We sent our crews out on the streets, if you will, to find out what people were thinking about this early phase of discussions. And we talked to a number of people who were local and involved in the Zoo Museum District. And here's what they think about our institutions.
That's the beauty of the St. Louis Zoo, is that it's free. I think that everybody gets to benefit from having the zoo, so they should help pay for it.
Yeah. Out in San Diego, you pay a fortune to go to the zoo, and ours is just as good.
We have a really good system here where all the public things are free. And I've been to San Diego. We beat them, I think, and you had to pay a bunch of money to get in to the zoo there.
I think they should just add more counties, because we are one of the zoos that's fortunate to be free, to have free admission. When you go to Atlanta, Chicago, they charge you to get in. Everybody loves St. Louis Zoo, so I think they should keep the admission free. St. Louis Zoo is the best zoo in the world.
All right, there are some folks who are in the area of the zoo in Forest Park responding to the notion that it might be down the road at some point, admission might have to be charged to access the zoo. No surprise there, Terry Jones, with the reaction from people, as you indicated, very, very positive.
And especially about the zoo.
Yeah, the zoo, again, is the one that everybody seems to be talking about. Charlie Valier, back to you. It is something Terry said a moment ago. He talked about the ZMD being toothless. Your thoughts about that?
I think that's an accurate statement in that the ZMD has been unwilling to take any kind of stand with respect to what the sub-districts are doing. I think that as the tax rate now reaches its maximum, that it can act as a facilitator between the five institutions. But the institutions are going to have to take the lead, and among the institutions, the zoo, far and away, will be the leader in whatever happens next. And I want to interject that while we're talking about taxes, one of the developments that's taken place both at the zoo, at the garden, and in the other institutions, but particularly at the zoo over the last 20 years, is that they have developed a fundraising system with private contributions that didn't exist before. And so if you look at the revenues of the zoo for a year, and you say roughly $60 million, $20 million comes from taxes, $20 million comes from what people spend when they're there, so they're not exactly free. And the other $20 million comes from voluntary contributions from citizens, not only from St. Louis City and St. Louis County, but from some of the outlying counties. There's something like 46,000 zoo members that are paying extra each year to help support the zoo. And so that dynamic, I think, that there's now another element to the revenue stream is what has enabled the zoo to get to where it is today, and I think we'll take it beyond today.
Are you saying, I don't want to misinterpret what you're saying, but are you saying that the zoo is really in pretty good financial shape with all of these additional sources of revenue?
I think today, yes, that's true. I think that they are in very good financial shape. But you can't say that of all the institutions, you see. So that's why I say this is a very complex picture. The problem that we have to look at with respect to the zoo is the expansion plans that are possible now will cost hundreds of millions of dollars. And so whether the zoo can raise all that money, I think it is questionable, but that's going to be part of their long-range planning, how to do it. But right now, today, the new exhibits at the zoo, the sea lion exhibit that was just completed, the polar bear exhibit that's under construction, they're all privately financed. They're not being financed by tax monies.
Terry, what do you make of all of that?
Well, it's interesting how our concept of region has changed over the years. When this discussion first occurred in 1970, as Charlie related, when we said region, we really meant St. Louis County and St. Louis City doing something together. Now, when we say region, we talk about other units being involved. So, for example, when we passed the tax that created the hiking and biking trail network, Great Rivers Greenway, in 2000, that was St. Charles County, St. Louis County, and St. Louis City, as well as Madison and St. Clair counties, doing a comparable action on the Illinois side. So we have to rethink about what we mean by that, and that then brings St. Charles County into the discussion. I think one of the obstacles has been lack of creativity in developing a win-win situation, so that if St. Charles County was added to one or more of the sub-districts, let's use the zoo as an example, what would the zoo do in St. Charles County as opposed to St. Charles County dollars simply going to help the zoo expand at its current location?
Well, while we're talking, did you? Go ahead, Charles. You wanted to say something.
Again, this is a very complex issue. The zoo itself, to establish a satellite facility, involves an enormous expenditure, both in terms of capital but also in operating expenses. The other institutions, for instance, the garden already has an arboretum in Franklin County. The History Museum could clearly establish some adjuncts in St. Charles County. So I think it's a mixed picture, but I really seriously question, as far as the zoo is concerned, in trying to move into one of these outlying counties, because it's the dynamics of what they have in Forest Park that really make that institution.
You know, before we take a break, we talked to a number of people who live outside of the Zoo Museum District to get a sense of what they're thinking with regard to the kind of conversation we're having now. Let's get some sense of what people outside the ZMD are thinking about all of this.
I wouldn't mind paying extra taxes to keep the zoo free. That'd be great.
The admission's free. I think we kind of get away with that. We don't understand how good we got it with that. So if they did, you know, it is what it is. I wouldn't be too upset about it.
I agree. I mean, I wouldn't be too upset. I'm happy with the zoo, and they're doing a lot of new things coming up to it. So I'm excited to see what the changes are going to be.
I worry about the people that can't afford to pay to come in, that they should somehow get some kind of discount or coupon or something.
One of the great things about the zoo is that it is free. And, you know, that as far as raising taxes, you know, the zoo does raise property values for the people who live in the St. Louis area. You know, when we talk about going to the botanical gardens, we don't visit that as much because there is a admission fee to that.
So there you have some sense of what people who live outside the Zoo Museum District think about the possibility of raising additional revenue from any one of a number of different means. My guest in studio is Charlie Valier, who is a member of the Zoo Museum District Board. He's a commissioner. And joining us by phone is Terry Jones, political scientist at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. We'll come back and talk about in more detail about some of the options that are being discussed at this very early stage about raising additional revenues for the Zoo Museum District institutions. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Back to our conversation with Charlie Valier and Terry Jones. Let's talk about some of the options and what would be involved if in fact this pursues along the lines of current discussion. We just talked about people living outside the district. Terry, I'll start with you on this. How complicated would it be to add additional adjacent counties to the Zoo Museum District?
Well, it would require, first of all, authorizing legislation by the Missouri General Assembly. That would then require action within a county that would be added. Let's again use St. Charles County as our example. And it would require a majority vote of the people. I'm assuming it would also be the same property tax levy that would be existing in the St. Louis County and the city of St. Louis. And it's not going to happen unless there's the active support of leadership, particularly elected leadership, among both the legislative delegation from St. Charles County, as well as the St. Charles County Executive and the St. Charles County Council.
Charlie Valier?
I think we part company on this issue. First of all, I'm not sure that it has to be a property tax. Secondly, I don't think that the levy in the city and county should necessarily be the same levy, whether we're talking about a sales tax or a property tax, in the ex-urban counties. After all, the access to the institutions, I think, should be a factor in determining what level of support you would seek from those counties. I think to be successful, you have to have a sense of fairness to this. And so Franklin County, which is the most remote, I think they would rebel if they were asked to pay the same tax rate as the city and the county. So I think that this, again, I use the word complexity because this is a complex issue. But we have to get a balance where the people who are using it are helping shoulder the responsibility of supporting it. But we don't just go out and try and drop a tax on a county that is some distance away and doesn't have easy access to the institutions.
Well, how about a closer county like St. Charles, which has been mentioned? It has shown no appetite in the past for becoming involved in anything like this. I think of Metrolink is one example.
Well, so my second part of my dispute is that I don't believe that impetus for this will come from elected leaders in St. Charles County. I think that the leadership will have to come from the business community in St. Charles County, who recognizes and understands that these cultural institutions are just as important to their businesses and to their workers as they are to the city and county. Generally, political leadership follows rather than leads on issues like this. And I point out that when the district was created in 1970, Mayor Al Cervantes opposed it because he said we're stealing his crown jewels. We can look at that and kind of laugh in hindsight, but I don't look to the political leadership of St. Charles County to get this done. What I do look to are the citizen and business leaders.
Do you buy into that, Terry?
Partially, but not completely. The business analogy back in 1970, and of course Mayor Cervantes did oppose it, Charlie's quite right, was civic progress. So you had some very substantial institutions organized through civic progress, and you had vigorous leadership from Howard Bear, who had great respect and energy for the cause. You don't have the same cohesive business leadership in St. Charles County, nor the same level of leadership. I'm not talking, that's not said critically, but there are no large institutions of a civic progress nature in St. Charles County.
You know, you mentioned, Charlie Valley, you mentioned Franklin County, and I'll direct this one at first to Terry Jones. Much closer is Madison and St. Clair County, and there's some discussion about bringing them in, but Terry, that would be an enormously, to use this word again, complex part of the equation.
Well, of course, Charlie's the lawyer in the crowd, but or along in the program. So
we hope there's a crowd.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But either there would have to be authorizing legislation by the Illinois state legislature, but they could only authorize establishing a separate Illinois district that would partner with the existing ZMD, as much as the Metro Parks and Recreation Districts partner with Great Rivers Greenway. Or we would have to have a new interstate compact, which requires requires simultaneous action by both state legislatures and then approval by the U.S. Congress, including signature by the president, the action that set up the Bi-State Development Agency, which we now call Metro.
Charlie?
Yeah, I agree. I think the compact route would be the most successful. It sounds complex. I think much of it can be done fairly easily. I think the most difficult thing is that both Illinois and Missouri, their general assemblies, have to enact identical pieces of legislation. And getting that done might be fairly difficult in today's environment.
Boy, we talked about getting Congress involved in any way.
I don't think Congress would be a problem because I think the local congressman would be supportive. I think I really think that it's just the intricacy of establishing a compact that will take time.
There's so many one-liners running through my head right now when you say you don't think Congress would be a problem.
Let me mention one other potential obstacle. Yeah. When you do a bi-state compact, typically, and this is certainly the case with Metro, each state wants equal representation on the governing body. Clarksville Metro has 10 commissioners, 5 from Illinois, 5 from Missouri. Even though Illinois portion of the St. Louis metropolitan area is only a little over 20% of the overall population. So that same type of representation issue would arise, I think, if we had a compact for our cultural institutions.
Okay, one other area that I want to get into is the question of just charging admission. This is something that everybody is wondering about. Charlie, what about it? Is this a realistic possibility?
I don't think so. Personally, when I took the legislation through the General Assembly and then when I campaigned for the establishment of the district, first in 1971 and then in 1983, I think we really made a compact with the residents of St. Louis City and St. Louis County that if they're going to shoulder the burden of supporting these institutions, then we're not going to make them pay again. And I don't see that principle being violated. Now, if you're talking about somebody coming here from, you know, somewhere else, that's a possibility. But again, we get into the complexity of the issue. If you take the art museum or the history museum, most of their attendance is actually from the St. Louis district. So they don't have many outsiders coming to them, and their attendance is so much less than the zoo. And if, when you look at the cost of setting up a toll booth, which is basically what you have to do, and you have to fund somebody at that toll booth, you know, who's checking people and making people pay, for those institutions, it would be counterproductive. So this issue has many different parts to it.
We talked to a number of people who are from out of town, and most notably Texas, with one small group, to find out what they were thinking about our free zoo and the prospects of having to pay admission. Here's what they had to say.
They charge at our zoos for the most part. I always like free.
Poor college student, it's really nice to be free. I just think it's a beautiful place. I wish we had more places like this in Texas to go to. I think it's fantastic.
I think it'd be a terrible idea to charge admission to the zoo.
I think it'd be a huge deterrent. I know in Houston, getting into the zoo can be, like, just to get in is a huge price. And then, of course, when you get in, like, all the gift shops and drinks and everything costs money, too. So I definitely think more people would not come if it wasn't free. If you already have the money guilt of paying, you know, say $20 to get in, you're not going to pay for a $10 beer when you're inside.
And in Cleveland, I often don't go because it's not free as well. They do have one day that's free. They have Mondays are free, and it usually fills up on that day. But usually that's the only day people go because no one wants to have to pay to go.
I don't have the money to be paying for that kind of thing just to go to a zoo. So I love that St. Louis is free. I love that the art museum is free.
I'm starting my residency in next year at Barnes, so I just came down to check out like where to live and things like that down in St. Louis, and I heard about the zoo and that it was free, and I couldn't believe it. I'm very much deterred by the Milwaukee Zoo's price of $15. As long as they kept it reasonable, you know, maybe kids free and then $5 for an adult, if that would generate enough revenue, I think I would be willing to come back here. It's a wonderful zoo.
All right, there you have some out-of-towners and their thoughts about charging admission at the zoo. Terry, what are your thoughts with regard to charging people from outside the district?
Well, this is, first of all, is done to some extent right now with the special exhibitions at the Science Center. Well, all of the cultural institutions, although the zoo has less of that than the other four. So there's a bit of it going on right now. Nonetheless, we have developed this culture of free zoo. I mean, the words go together. And to break that culture, that civic culture, is going to be very, very difficult for St. Louis to accomplish.
Yeah. Let's take a call or two as time allows. Jeremy will join us from St. Louis. Jeremy, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wanting to know if anybody has looked into the possibility of a recommended donation at the door, like they do in some of the museums in New York.
All right. I don't know the answer to that question. Do you, Charlie?
I think at some of the institutions they already do that. But I think if you look at institutions that do that around the country, you'll find that the revenue from it is very small.
I have an email here from Amy. It says, why not charge a minimum of $1 and continue the tax base as is? The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York does that. But charging a buck for every head going through the zoo, would it raise that much money, Charlie?
Well, if you do the numbers, you'd say it probably raises $3 million. But I go back to why are you going to make people who are already paying the taxes pay again? It just doesn't seem fair to me. And frankly, one of the reasons that we made certain that these institutions were free was that it made these institutions available to people of lesser means who could not otherwise afford it. And I think that is part of our civic purpose, and I just can't see myself changing from that view.
Terry, thoughts?
I fully agree with Charlie. Again, it's embedded in our civic culture that these institutions, and again, especially the zoo, are for everyone. And the equity issues, if they're not for everyone, if you had the means test, I'm too poor, you should let me in for free. But Charlie has enough money, so charge him. That would just change. That was just not the St. Louis way of doing things.
That's not our Charlie you're talking about, is it? Okay, here's a question. Terry, I'll go to you first because I know Charlie has a response to it. What if we do nothing?
Then we will have very good but not excellent institutions over time. Right now we are at or near the top of the league in our zoo and our botanical garden, and we are in certainly very good standing in the other three. We want to go forward, not backward in that regard, not increasing the revenue base. The stream for any of those five is going to cause us to go backward rather than forward.
Charlie, we do nothing.
Well, initially, I don't think it'd have much impact at all. Really, since 2008, all of these institutions have been living on a very tight budget. They haven't been getting, really since 2007, the revenue from the tax has been flat. So they've already tightened their belt. But to go forward, I think what we do is we put in jeopardy really this very strong system of cultural institutions that we have. We're really, even with our art museum, if you compare our art museum to art museums west of the Mississippi, you know, we're probably the best.
But, you know, everybody's presupposing that the economy is not going to get better, that housing prices aren't going to go up, and that the property tax revenue will increase over a period of time. We only have a minute left. This is very likely to happen at some point.
Well, I think that you will see some growth, but the reason St. Charles is flourishing is that land for development in St. Louis County has pretty much run out. And so growth is going to take place in the exurban counties to a much greater degree than it is in St. Louis County.
But the value of the property that exists is likely to go up.
Yeah, but we've got $3 billion to catch up on already, and the property assessments lag the economy in any case, so you're probably looking at 5 years before you get there.
Do you want to give me 15 seconds, Terry, on that?
Well, we're not going to get there without substantial property development outside of the residential arena, and we are in a slow-growth economy here in the metropolitan area, so that's not a likely outcome.
All right. Well, as I suggested early on, we're really at the first phase, the first stage of discussion about all of this. I'm sure there will be much to follow. Charlie Valier, thank you so much for being with us and being a part of this program. Enjoyed seeing you again.
Thank you.
Terry Jones, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Don.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Bill Bryson about his writing career and about his latest book, One Summer, America, 1927. And St. Louis, by the way, plays a big part in that era. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.